Well, morning, folks. It's good to be with you here in the auditorium at Church in the Marketplace. Hi, if you're watching up in the gallery. And g'day, if you're listening online, we pray that God will bless you as you join in with us today. Last week, we began a series that helps us think about the choices that we make. The first was choosing the right values. Today, I want us to think about choosing the right guide. So, imagine that you're traveling. You're in another country, in a city that you've never visited before. You've got pretty much four options to help you explore. You could just walk around and see what the city is all about. My guess is you'd see some interesting things, but you're going to miss most of the city because you don't know really what's there. You wouldn't get the best out of what the city is all about. Your second option is to get a map. Now you've got a little bit more direction. You can use that map to guide your walk around. Let's go there, let's go and see that. That's better than just drifting through the city, but it's still not the best. Then you could get a guidebook. A guidebook tells you, here's the cool stuff to see. Here's the best places to eat. Here's the attractions that you don't want to miss. Here's the stuff that's most fun. Here's where you get the bargains when you go shopping. Having a guidebook really opens up the city far better than a map, far better than just walking around. But the best of all is to hire a personal guide, somebody who's been there, who's lived their lives there. They know all the best spots. They know how to avoid the tourist traps. They know how to get to the real Paris or the real London or the real Tokyo or wherever it is. They know how to point out stuff that nobody else knows about. They often know the history, they'll know the background, they know the full experience, they know the best place to take a picture. Having a personal guide is best of all. And really the same is true for our lives. We can just drift through life, or we can get a map, or we can get a guidebook, or we can get a personal guide for our lives. Depending on which of those things we choose will determine how effective, how meaningful, how significant, how fulfilling our lives will be. We can just drift through life, and many people do that. They don't have a map, they don't have a guidebook, and they certainly don't have a guide. I suggest we avoid that kind of lifestyle. That's just existing. We go through life not knowing what to see and what to do and what's important and what's not important. Now, God has given us both a guidebook and He's given us a guide, and this week we want to look at choosing the right guide for our lives. So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Our Lord, so often we'd like to think that we know which way to go and what things are best for us. But you tell us that a life nurtured in who you are and led by your purposes is the way that you want to bless our lives. And so we pray that as we seek to understand how the Holy Spirit guides us, that you would help us to be more open to that guidance you provide for us day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there are plenty of guides out there. We can choose some talk show host on TV. We can choose some radio commentator. We can choose a friend. There are lots of people who will be happy to guide us through life, but not necessarily in the right direction. God has provided both a guidebook, the Bible, and a personal guide called the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever thought about why Jesus returned to heaven. Why didn't He just stay on earth so we'd have a physical, visible model and we could see that's how God wants us to live, that's the way to handle that kind of situation, that's the way to handle that stress, that conflict. Let's go and ask Him. Jesus said, it's actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Helper won't come to you. But if I do go away, I will send Him to you. And when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. How is having the Holy Spirit better than having Jesus? Because when Jesus was here, He was limited to one location. When He was physically in a body, He could only be in Jerusalem or wherever He was around there. He couldn't be in Jerusalem and Sydney at the same time. But now his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, can be everywhere. He can be with all of us. He can help all of us. He can be in all of us. And folks, that's a big deal. Jesus is going to be present in us. He says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to put my Spirit in you. And that Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. So in John 14, it says, the Father will give you another helper who will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he lives with you and will be in you. So he's our helper. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He'll be with us. He'll be in us. And he's the guide that I recommend we choose for our lives. You say, okay, great, got it. But how do I do it? And that's what I want to look at today. How does the Holy Spirit guide our lives? What does he actually do? Now, when we first start off in the Christian life, we're not very good at this, I don't think. We don't really know how to let the Holy Spirit lead us, but we get better at it, and we're going to learn a little about how we understand his voice. If you're married and you pick up the phone and talk, you don't have to say, hi, this is your wife, or hi, this is your husband. You know their voice. You've heard it enough. Hi, this is your husband. You know their voice. When we first start walking with Jesus, we don't always know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think, is this God talking to me, or is this just me talking to myself? Did I just eat a bad pizza? Or did I just have some idea that came from a movie that I just saw? But as we grow in faith, we get better. We know that's God talking to me. He puts his impressions on our mind and he leads us. So let me give us some ways the Holy Spirit wants to guide us through life. The number one is the Spirit will help us know what we need to know. That's the first thing the Holy Spirit is sent to do. Help us know what we need to know. There's a lot of stuff in life we don't need to know, and it's all over the TV and it's all over the internet, but stuff we do need to know in life, the Holy Spirit will teach us. Now, here's a cool thing about the Holy Spirit. If we learn to let the Holy Spirit lead our lives, he not only helps us know what we need to know, he also helps us know what we need to know in that moment we need it. It's not like, I'm going to teach you all this stuff and I hope someday you'll use it. The Holy Spirit brings to mind what we need to know when we need to know it. So it's not just the what, there's the when. For example, I don't know if some of you will have had some of these experiences. You've ever read a Bible verse, maybe it's the beginning of the day, and later that was the exact Bible verse you needed that day. That was the Holy Spirit. You didn't know it, but it was the Holy Spirit calling our attention to something. You didn't even know you needed it, but it's like the Spirit helped us in advance. He gives us what we need to know when we need to know it. Sometimes he gives it to us right before it happens, and sometimes he'll give it to us the day before. He gives us what we need to know, but when we need to know it. Sometimes we'll read a book, and later on in the week we think, that's exactly what I needed. I just read that yesterday. It's like that was the Holy Spirit being our guide. Sometimes it's a song. It comes on the radio and you hear that song and you think, that song is exactly what I need right now. I'm discouraged or I'm frustrated or I'm mad or I'm angry, and that's exactly what I needed to hear. That was the Holy Spirit. He gives us what we need to know at that moment. Sometimes we read an article and a few hours or a few days later we're talking with a friend and we say, you know, I just read an article on that. And you share with them. That was the Holy Spirit. He's giving you what you needed to know when you needed to know it. Now, sometimes God does this for you, for your benefit, but sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us what we need to know for somebody else's benefit. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. He's going to give us the truth we need, and we need the truth because if we build our lives on lies, we've got a faulty foundation. It's going to crumble, it's going to break, it's going to fall over, it's going to crack up. When the Holy Spirit tells us what we need to know, when he gives us the truth that we need in that particular moment, there's a word for it. It's called revelation. Revelation is when God tells us something we need to know. The book, of course, the Bible, is God's revelation to humankind, but God also reveals things to us through His Spirit. He'll give us little nudges, insights. We'll think, I never would have thought of that. It's a revelation. Luke 2:26, talking about Simeon, says, it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit. Simeon had been told, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. He would never have known that. The Holy Spirit told him that. God will reveal things to us. Number two, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll help us go where we need to go. There are some places we need to get in life, and there's no way we're going to get there by ourselves. Maybe God has put a dream in our heart, a desire in our heart, a vision in our heart. We have a dream of where we're going to be someday, but there's no way we're going to get there on our own. But if we let the Holy Spirit guide us, He'll guide us into places that we never imagined we'd be. He'll help us to know what we need to know. He'll help us get where we need to go. God says, I've set before you an open door, and it's an open door that nobody can close. So what we want to do is to let the Holy Spirit guide our career, guide our relationships. Luke 2:27 says, the Spirit led Simeon. This is the guy that we just talked about, to go to the temple. When he got there, you know what he saw? Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus. Simeon was the man given the privilege of dedicating Jesus to God in the temple at Jerusalem. If Simeon hadn't been sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he'd be probably sitting at home doing a crossword puzzle. I don't know. All of a sudden, he got an impression. The Holy Spirit said, go to the temple. And so he went because he knew the voice of God. He would have missed the privilege of dedicating the baby Jesus if he didn't learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is full of examples of the Holy Spirit giving what I call nudges. The Spirit nudges us. He puts an idea in our minds. He'll tell us stuff to know, but He'll also tell us where to go if we listen to Him. In Acts 8:29, it says, then the Spirit told Philip, go catch a ride with that chariot. You might know the background. Philip's walking down a dusty road one day, minding his own business, singing songs, having fun. I don't know. And all of a sudden, a guy comes by in a chariot, which means the guy obviously was a man of wealth or power or influence. We find out later that he's an Ethiopian leader. As the chariot goes by, the Holy Spirit says to Philip, go catch a ride with that chariot. Hitchhike. So Philip runs up to the chariot and he sees the guy's got a book in his hand, and Philip says, well, what are you reading? And the guy says, well, it's the book of Isaiah, but I don't understand it. Now Philip knows why he's there. Well, I know it. I understand it, Philip said. Tell me what you're reading. And he's reading the passage in Isaiah about how the Messiah is going to come one day. And Philip says, well, the guy has actually come. He was just crucified, and a few days ago he was resurrected. He's alive, and he's walking around in Jerusalem now. The Ethiopian guy says, tell me more. God had that Ethiopian leader coming by in a chariot, and he gives a nudge to Philip, go catch a ride with him. And Philip explains to him about Jesus, and they keep traveling together. And the Ethiopian says, well, you know, what do I need to do next? And Philip says, well, you need to get baptized as a symbol that you've said, I'm all in. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And they're riding along and they see a creek bed. And the Ethiopian leader says, well, there's some water. What's to keep me from being baptized right now? And Philip says, nothing. And so they stop the chariot and they go down to the creek, and Philip baptizes the guy, and he takes off in his direction and heads back home, and Philip goes back in the other direction. That man took Christianity to Africa. And that's why the oldest Christian churches in Africa are in Ethiopia. How did Christianity expand to Africa? Because somebody listened to a nudge from the Holy Spirit. Number three, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll help us say the right things. He'll help us know what we need to know. He'll help us go where we need to go. He'll help us say what we need to say at the right time and in the right way. When we listen and we say, Holy Spirit, you need to tell me what to say, I haven't the slightest idea what to say at this moment, then the Spirit will teach us what we need to say. Mark 12:36 says, the Holy Spirit led David to say. If we're Christian, the Holy Spirit has already used us many, many times without us even knowing it. It's like he puts an idea in our mind and we say it and it's affected somebody in some way and we didn't even know that they needed to hear that. You were sitting in a small group and you said something offhand and you don't even remember it, but it was like the light turned on for somebody else in that small group. It was like God spoke directly to them. God used you to say what they needed to hear and you didn't even know it. I don't know how many times over the years people have come to church and then walked out and you said, I felt like Peter was talking directly to me. Well, that's not me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has used you many times. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you in advance what you need to say. And that just feels like a bit of good preparation, really. I mean, I don't wait till I walk out here to think, oh, what are we going to talk about today? Anybody read a good novel lately? Anybody had a book review? No. Through the week, I'm reading, I'm praying, I'm just letting him tell me. God knows who's going to be here today, so why would he give me something to say that has no relationship to where you're at? But sometimes the Holy Spirit just tells you right in the moment, and that's a fun thing too, sometimes. You don't know what to say, and you don't panic, you just throw up an instant prayer. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say right now? And then just wait. It's like a muscle. The more we do it, the stronger it gets. The better we understand the Holy Spirit, the better we understand him communicating with us. Matthew 10:19-20 says, do not worry what to say or how to say it. You've got to make a presentation. You've got to go for a job interview. You've got to make a proposal. Don't worry what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That's why the Holy Spirit is here to help us know what to say when we need to say it. Number four, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll help us wait for God's timing. It's a saying that timing is everything. You know, all over Australia, the same tennis players serve the exact same size ball and they all stand on the exact same size court and they stand the exact same number of metres away from the other player. But the difference between a top 100 player and an amateur is timing. It's the timing on how they hit the ball. The right timing can make a sermon a success or a dud. A speech a success or a dud. A project can be a success or a dud. So much is about timing. And maybe God gives us an idea to start something new and we think, well, I've got the idea and I should just start it. No. There's always three parts, it seems to me, of things like that. First, God tells us what he's going to do. Part two is the how. How God does what he does in our lives will often be quite different to the way we'd like to do it. God says, my ways are not your ways. And then we've got to wait for the third part of the vision, which is the when. It's like God will sometimes give us a peek into our future. He says, this is where I'm taking you, but you're not there yet. I've got to get you ready. I've got to build your maturity, whatever it happens to be. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is he gives us the right timing. Now, there's no way we can know the right timing for everything, but there is a way that God knows the right timing for everything. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, there's a right time and a right way to do everything. So if we're going to wait on God's timing, it means we don't get upset over delays. We trust that at the right time, in the right way, God will bring the right business, the right job, the right piece of land, the right partner, and so on. When the Holy Spirit is guiding us, delays don't bother us so much. We can wait confidently. We're not discouraged. Galatians 5:5 says, we are led by the Spirit to wait. How? In the confident hope of righteousness through faith. So let me ask you, here's a question for you to think about this morning. What are we waiting on? And let me add a question to that. Are we talking to the Holy Spirit while we're waiting? Number five, If we listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll help us resist the temptations of self-indulgence. He'll help us resist things we can't normally resist. So I'm talking about things like temptations and compulsions and desires and addictions. Galatians 5 says the desires of self-indulgence are always in opposition to the Spirit. In other words, what we naturally like to do, that's often the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. The desires of the Spirit, it says, are in opposition to your self-indulgence, which keep you from doing the things you want to do. But when you are led by the Spirit, you are not in bondage to the law. What he's saying here is the Holy Spirit's power is stronger than willpower. The stuff that we say, I really wish I didn't say that. Why do I get so insecure? Why do I get so angry? Why do I get so shy? Why do I get so impatient? Why do I get lustful? I wish I didn't do that. Well, the Holy Spirit's power is stronger than the self-indulgent power of our natural selves. The verse before in Galatians 5:16 says, if you are guided by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the selfish desires of your nature. Notice it doesn't say, if you are guided by the Spirit, you won't have selfish desires. We're going to have them. It says we don't fulfill them. And that's important to understand. Whatever our area of weakness is, whether that's sex or anger or drugs or money, whatever our downfall is, we're going to struggle with it probably all of our lives. It doesn't say that when we follow the Spirit, we no longer have temptation. We'll never have lives where we're temptation-free. It just says if we're guided by the Spirit, we don't fulfill the desires of self-indulgence. We may still have that attraction the rest of our lives, but an attraction isn't an action. An attraction isn't a sin, an action is. Let me give you just one more. If we listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll help us avoid dangers and mistakes. Part of the Holy Spirit's job is to protect us, to shield us. The Bible uses the word shield, the word shelter, the word defend to keep us from disaster, our protector, our rock, our defender. One of the ways he does it is by warning us and cautioning us. The Holy Spirit doesn't just whisper sweet nothings in our ear. You're good. You're great. You're fantastic. I believe in you. Yes, the Holy Spirit encourages us, but sometimes he says, don't you dare do that. Sometimes he warns us, sometimes he corrects us, sometimes he speaks in our mind a word of protection saying, if you go down that road, it's a disaster, buddy. You're headed into a dead end. So if we want to avoid mistakes and dangers in life, we listen to the Holy Spirit. The less I listen to him, the more mistakes I'm going to make. The less I listen to him, the more problems I'm going to have, the more dead ends I'm going to face. Now, just let me conclude by saying I'm most likely to hear the Holy Spirit when I'm relaxed. It's almost impossible to hear the Holy Spirit when we're tense, when we're nervous, when we're upset, when we're angry, and especially when we're fearful. You might ask, how do I know if what I'm hearing right now is God's Spirit? Well, one way you'll know is if there's an element of fear in it, it is not from the Holy Spirit. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Anytime we feel fear, that is not God talking. The Holy Spirit can warn us about something, don't do that, but it's not going to be a fear-based thing. Fear-based is never the voice of the Holy Spirit. On the summary today, because there's so much we could say, there are some verses, so that I've given you just a little sheet of paper with the verses that we've just looked at, but there's some more verses on there that tells us how the Spirit guides us and some steps on there about being led by the Spirit. Can I invite you, encourage you to take those home and just read some of those for yourself over the next few days? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for every person who's going to have to make some difficult decisions this week. May we never again make a decision on our own. but make it first in consultation with you. You've given us a guidebook. You've given us a guide. Holy Spirit, help us to learn to hear your voice, to listen to your nudges. Lord, for everybody who's having a tough time this week, Holy Spirit, help them to know what they need to know. Help them to go where they need to go. Help them to say what they need to say. Help direct them along the way. Help those who need to wait for your perfect timing to not be in a hurry. Help those who are struggling with something they can't seem to resist to stop relying on willpower and rely on spirit power. And Lord, for anyone who doesn't know you here today, may they right now say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you and I want you in my life. May they begin this journey today for the rest of their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them and us in Jesus' name. Amen.